Hey guys, this episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by our friends at Water Mission, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean and safe water and, most importantly, God's love to people around the world. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. I'm telling you, you won't regret getting involved with this amazing ministry. Clean water to people in need. watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. You can find us at sportspectrum.com. That is our website, a great place to go each and every day if you're looking for daily devotionals, if you're looking for podcasts, free content, articles, testimonials, all available on the intersection of sports and faith at sportspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, I am really excited to bring a conversation to you with someone I just met recently. Over the last few months, I was at a gathering in late June, early July, and Joe Kim happened to be at this gathering. He is with the New England Patriots. He is their director of skill development. And I look at him as a skill development coach, an assistant coach, however you want to word it. He's been in the NFL for 30 plus years. He got his start with Bill Belichick when he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns back in 1992. So it's 30 years now that it's been since Joe Kim came to the NFL. He spent time learning the ropes, if you will, of the NFL through Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, by the way, who was an assistant coach on that team with the Cleveland Browns. And then he had stops in a lot of different places: Dallas, back to Cleveland, Miami, Green Bay, Denver, Buffalo, Kansas City, which that's a really important part of this story, Kansas City, in his time there in 2010 to 2012. Then Chicago, Washington, back to Cleveland. And now he is with the New England Patriots, and he's been there since 2018. He was a part of a Super Bowl championship there with the Patriots in 2018 when they won the Super Bowl and beat the Rams. He is also a martial arts expert, which will help kind of describe the role that he has as a director of skill development with New England. He's also a man of faith, and he came to faith a little bit later in life, different than a lot of guys that we talk to. But man, Joe Kim is inspiring. He's motivating. He is someone who is, I think he's a professional encourager, if you will, and a guy that I would not only want to be friends with, but want to play for every single day getting up. And I love this conversation. I really do. I think you will be incredibly encouraged when you hear Joe Kim's story and just thinking about the fact that the NFL is starting in just a few days. This will get you fired up for another football season. Let's take a listen to Joe Kim, New England Patriots Director of Skill Development, joining us today, right now on Sports Spectrum. Joe Kim, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How you doing?
Great. I got my good. Just excited. Woke up today, excited, going to do his work.
Yes. In fact, I said that to you when you first jumped on the Zoom. I said, hey, Joe, how's it going, buddy? You said, I woke up. Why was that the first mindset that you had? Like the first thought that you had was, hey, I'm grateful that I just woke up.
Well, I always say that with an attitude of gratitude because, you know, it says in his word that all of our days are numbered. And I think what happens is, you know, we can't have bad days. We can have bad moments of days. We can't have, you know, we can't look forward, but we can look forward. You know, it's one of those type of paradoxes. But hey, our days are numbered. And once you realize that, and once you're in the belief system of every day is numbered, and on earth, the number is decreasing, right? So each and every day, man, just waking up, you got to praise God. You know, I mean, it's your feet hit the ground, get to, not got to, and here we go.
Yeah. And you said to me too, you know, we're both getting older. You didn't like that word. You said we're aging. but we're not getting old. And I thought that's a great mindset too, as we both get, you're 53, I think you told me. I'm 48, almost 49 here in a couple of weeks. So, you know, we're both getting, you know, to a different stage of life. And I feel like when I hit my mid 40s, that moment of the days being numbered kind of hit me harder, not because of a specific incident, just a different stage of life. Is that kind of what it was for you? You know, as you get a little older, I think you appreciate things a little differently than when we were younger.
More than 100%, because, you know, at our age, we all have friends now that, you know, have health issues what's one of the quotes that people talk about is, you know, when we're younger, you know, we focus on, you know, we spend all this money on things that make us, you know, feel good. But then when we're older, we spend all the money on things that get our health back, you know? So it's like, you know, when we get to, let's call it 48 plus, and, you know, and another thing too, you know, raising teenage daughters, it definitely ages you, and thank praise the Lord, I got through that, but that's why I lost my hair. And, you know, I have a bald spot like here, 'cause I would always do this, rub my head.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, yeah. You know, when you're, it's a mindset. Like everything I believe is a mindset. It's, you got to change your attitude. Hey, you know, you can't go anywhere on a flat tire until you fix it. So your attitude can be like a flat tire. And if your attitude on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly, but whatever it is, you got to constantly, me personally, I got to say it. So I love it when people ask me how I'm doing, because that's an opportunity to spread the gospel. You know what I mean? Spread the light right there. So it's like, those are little opportunities. Now, I'm also believing honesty too. So if my back is hurting and you said, Jason, how you feeling? I'm like, man, L5 is out. I can't stand up straight. I mean, I'll tell you that, you know, or, you know, I got a cold, but it's not COVID. It's just a cold. You know, nowadays you got to say that, but it's like, I'll tell you that. But I don't know if you're here to listen to my problems all day, you know, complaining about something stupid in my mind, you know, like something didn't go right for Joe, you know? So it's like, well, it's not about Joe. I've read a great book on my early Christian journey by Rick Warren. Right. And everybody knows that that's one of the best purpose-driven life books.
Absolutely.
And what's the first sentence?
It's not about you.
That just punches you right in the face.
Yeah. It's not about you. You have one of the most interesting journeys though, I think, in just talking to you and having met you recently at a gathering of different leaders. You have an interesting job, as I was asking you, and it was kind of easy to describe you as an assistant coach, right? But you actually have a really interesting title, which leads into the interesting role, Director of Skill Development with the New England Patriots. So tell us about that role. I think a lot of people would be fascinated by what you do and what your role is with New England.
Well, first and foremost, Coach Belichick is visionary, you know, so, you know, when he created that role for me, it was created, you know, years in the making, but my primary role is just to take the skills of, you know, and the fundamentals of footwork, hand placement, eye control, leverage, angle, body positioning, and formulate drills within their football's role, whether what position they are, whether they're a defensive lineman that's got to get off blocks or rush the passer, whether it's a outside linebacker that has to do the same thing, whether it's a defensive back that's got to know when to jam, when not to jam, faster hands, hand placement, you know, strike and counter and strike, things like that. A receiver with wide receiver releases, you know, and what we do is we quantify and rename every drill and every skill. So I'm a big muscle memory, big memory with words. So, you know, when we develop these drills and we develop these skills, we put a name to them and then we can coach off of it. So when we're watching film and breaking down film, all the players on any position level will understand that. So my role here with the New England Patriots currently is to do that and working with really the whole football team and just, you know, not a position coach, but in a coaching role and, you know, and working within the strength department, working within the football positional department, you know, and working directly under Coach Belichick to make sure that, hey, Joe, we need this skill, we need that skill. You know, this guy's not doing this fundamental right. So I get right on it.
And that relationship with Coach Belichick, you mentioned him being a visionary, that goes back 30 years, right?
It goes back 30 years. Yes, sir. It was, You know, it's all God. And I didn't realize it back then. You know, I mean, back then it was thing. I talked in words like coincidence and luck and fate and, man, I can't, deja vu or things like that. But now, obviously, my understanding of God has changed since that. But back then, yeah, correct. He found me by reading the newspaper, you know, in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. There was an article about my martial arts background. And he sent some players, Michael Dean Perry, Anthony Pleasant, Rob Burnett. He sent those guys to my taekwondo school in Cleveland, Ohio here. And I started training them. And after a month or so of training them, they just opened up a new facility in Berea, one of a state-of-the-art football training facility. And they brought me over to, I was kind of like, they tricked me a little bit. So AP, Anthony Pleasant said, hey, I'm going to take you over and I want you to tour the new Browns facility. I'm like, great, man, that's great. So I walk in. And the security guard says, hey, we'll be with you in a couple minutes. I'm like, oh, great. I'm getting a guided tour. I must be a little bit special. So they come down the hall and he walks me down. I walk around. It's beautiful now, Jason. I mean, this place is beautiful. And I see this guy comes around the corner and says, hey, my name is Jerry Simmons. I'm the head strength coach of the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to talk to you soon, but after you're done with meeting with coaches. And I'm like, meeting with coaches? You know, I mean, I don't know. And this is what, April, early April, late March. And so I go into this room and they bring me into this room and there's like 15 men in this room in this conference. And I don't know anybody. I'm just like, okay, you know, and but I've always had self-confidence in like this, but I'm like, how's everybody going? How's everybody doing? Yada, yada, yada. And this guy walks in, he turns around. He's like, hi, my name is Bill Belichick. I'm the head coach of Cleveland Browns. We'd like to talk to you a little bit. And he introduces me to Bill, you know, Nick Saban and Steve Crosby and Jim Bates and, you know, all these guys that have really had incredible careers, Kirk Ferentz, you know, and I don't know these people from Adam. I mean, I barely know Coach Belichick because I, you know, I'm a football fan, but he's newer there. And they just asked me some questions and said, I've been training these guys and AP and Michael Dean were sitting in there. And the funny story was, you know, Coach Belichick says, hey, show me what you've been doing. So Coach grabs me, right? And I do something, you know, it's either keep it playful or keep it real in martial arts. So you keep it playful when we're doing things. I'm doing things to practice, you know, because I got to respect you. I don't want to hurt you, you know, because I got to have control. So I do it in that setting. Right. And coach steps back. He's like, well, that ain't going to blip work. So AP says, Joe, do it like we practice. So he grabs me and I do a little bit harder and he like, drops down. He backs up. He grabs his arm. He's like, now that's going to blanket work. You know, that kind of like turned the whole, everybody's laughing, jumping, trainer jumps up. It was kind of a, Keenan McCardell actually tells a story about it in the paper later in years, but it was just kind of a incredible start to my career, right? And I didn't even know it was going to be a career.
Yeah, and you're 20, if I'm doing 30 years ago, 23, 24, 25 in that range. Like you're just trying to figure things out in life and you have this sudden chance moment, which we know it wasn't a chance moment, obviously, it was all the Lord. But just to catapult you into this 30-year career, and then I looked at your NFL stops. You know, it was Browns for 4 years, which had to be a thrill being, you know, from Cleveland and growing up there. But then Dallas, back to Cleveland, Miami, Green Bay, Denver, Buffalo, Kansas City, Chicago, Washington, back to Cleveland, and now with New England, again with Coach Belichick. You must have the greatest wife in the world, my friend, to travel and move around like that.
Yeah, too bad she's outside cleaning out our garage right there. She would have loved to hear that. She's been the best. I mean, I met Gina. I was on the U.S. National Taekwondo team in the late 80s, and I lived in Colorado Springs at the U.S. Olympic Training Center. So I was a permanent resident there, and I lived with Juan Moreno. And Juan was a decorated U.S. athlete. He's been three-time Olympic athlete, and he's been an Olympic coach for the USA for years. And now he's the Olympic coach for Brazil, but he, I was his roommate and I knew he had a little sister, but he never told me he had a big sister. And then we were at an event in Minnesota, US Olympic Festival. And I see this beautiful girl and, yeah, it was just, he's like, you stay away from her, you know? So that's how we kind of met. So she'd been brought up in a sports world, you know, of dedication, of, you know, commitment, of waking up early, of training late, of just the discipline, you know, the discipline of a sports world. So when we got married in September of 92, which was the year I started with the Browns, and, you know, praise God, a lot of them came to the wedding, but it was, she's never faltered, never wavered. She just supports and loves, and she's fantastic.
Is that just par for the course though, when you're getting married and she knows that she's marrying into this? I mean, maybe she didn't know at that point that she was marrying into this 30-year NFL career, but so many know if you're going to be a coach or you're going to work on a staff with a football team, that there's going to be potentially some moving around. It's not, you know, like the very few that go to one place and they're there for 40 years and then they retire. It's very much like the journey I just described in all the different places you went to. Did you know that going in, or did it just kind of happen as you were going along?
It just happened. And I guess nobody's ever really ready for the amount of time and effort and stress level and sweat that's involved in a football season. And people from the outside that don't know anything about sports, whether it be football, basketball, whatever it may be, you know, they always ask you the question, like, what do you guys do all day? You know, I mean, especially in the off season. Well, you know, how many people have been around me for my whole life? And they're like, okay, you getting ready to start back up? I'm like, now, you know, I'm like, whoa. They just don't understand. You know, it's not their fault. They just don't understand what goes into it. You know, I guess, Jason, the answer to your question is no, you're not ready for it. But you have to find that work-life balance in a different way. Most people find that in a daily basis. You know, if you work 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., then obviously you have your evenings, you know, with your family, or with your wife, whatever it have be. And with football, you know, you got to do it on a yearly basis. So, you know, in the off season, you know, when we're done in the off season, I've always gotten home quickly, you know, to spend time, you know, with Gina and to spend time with the girls. You know, a lot. Now we're one of those few, I should say, football people that we didn't move a whole lot. So what I mean by that is I believe that, you know, family was in Cleveland, church family was in Cleveland, friends were in Cleveland, support staff outside of dad was in Cleveland. So we kept them in Cleveland, and on the weekends I would come home. So if I wasn't working here, and that's just how we did it, because I believed in stability. I believed in rock foundation, and the girls stayed here. Gina stayed here. Family was here. Friends were here. You know, support staff was here. I would come home on the weekends, you know, so that's what we did. And then when the season, it was a little more challenging, but we found ways to do that. It's just all about balance. You got to figure that out.
Hey guys, taking a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you again about our friends at Water Mission, our partners here at Sports Spectrum. They are amazing partners, what Water Mission does. A Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love to people all around the world. Now you can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a place to sow, to give, to pour into, and know that your money is going to make a difference, Water Mission is the place to go. Again, the website, watermission.org/join the team. Joe Kim is our guest here on Sports Spectrum with the New England Patriots, their director of skill development. You mentioned God, you mentioned Jesus a few times. Let's talk about that, because I know when I heard you share a little bit of your story, I was really intrigued just because it's not the norm. Although we have very similar backgrounds, as we talked about when we were hanging out in person. Let's talk about Christ and how he came into your life.
I was a great Catholic, you know, christened, went to Catholic grade school, went to Catholic high school, Cleveland St. Edwards, big football school here in Lakewood, Ohio. I went to mass every weekend. I mean, if I couldn't, you know, I mean, in football, you know, obviously we had the Catholic priests come to our facility, you know, in the off season, I would go Saturday night vigil. I would go Sunday. I was a great Catholic. And that was my understanding. So my journey to Christ started in Kansas City when I was with the Kansas City Chiefs. And you know, I was there, I was doing okay. Life wasn't going great. You know, which I thought it was, but now I know it wasn't. You know, it was all about me, very self-motivated sometimes. You know how, you know, you drift apart with some things. And in walks a guy named Jack Easterby. And Jack, we brought him in as a guest chaplain to start. And our kicker, Ryan Suckup, brought him in from the University of South Carolina. And I just started talking with Jack. And you know, Jack invited me to a Bible study, and I'm like, nah, you know, I don't need that. You know, who studies the Bible, really? I mean, you know, as a Catholic, you know, we're kind of really taught that that's for the educated to, you know, because it's hard for us to discern what that means, you know. And so I never really studied the Bible other than Sunday, and it was all in the missal, right? Whatever the missal said, you know, so I would follow that. But he kept inviting me. He kept, you know, and he did it. And he would hug me and get right up in my space, which was, you know, a little bit, you know, you're stepping back because he's right up in there, you know, and just watching him interact with people. I mean, he's got such a light to him. I was drawn to him. So that lasted almost a year, you know, of no, I'm not going. But then he would come to chapel. I'm like, no, I go to mass. I'll go to mass at the, you know, there's like 5-6 of us in there. And I noticed there was like 30 in chapel, but they come out laughing. And then I started seeing some like leaflets and stuff he would pass out. And I'd be Kansas City Chiefs devotional or Kansas City Chiefs chapel. And it would be more than just scripture on the page. It would be what does this passage mean for our daily lives? And that's what kind of sparked my interest. And then, you know, they gave me a Bible with my name on it, an NIV study, life application study Bible. And Jason, I just dove in. It was like I couldn't get enough of it. I mean, I would go back to my room in Kansas City, my apartment in Kansas City when I was at the Chiefs, and I would call home, and I would, you know, and then I would open up the Word, and I got the Bible right there, and I would just dive into it. I don't know what I was reading. I don't know nothing, you know, but I just felt this energy, you know. And but then Jack hit me with this Catholic Christian thing. He said, Joe, so you go to mass, you grew up Catholic, that's great. We're walking in the Country Club Plaza. And I remember we're walking in front of Jack Stack's barbecue. We're getting ready to eat. We're waiting. And he hits me and he says, so I was wondering, is Catholicism Christian based? And I look at this guy like, what are you, you've been drinking before you talk to me? And I'm like, I might have even used some cuss words back then. Like, what the blank do you mean? And he's like, well, I just, you know, because he says, here's the thing. He says, you go to this Catholic mass, but he goes, I just don't see it on a day-to-day basis with how you speak and how you act and what you talk about. Jason, talk about a back kick to the gut, roundhouse kick to the face. Immediately my defenses went up, right? I mean, there's the pride sin. And man, he hit me hard. And then he says, he's like, have you ever studied the book of James? Nope. Where's that? He's like, you know, James is Jesus' brother. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, Jesus didn't have a brother. I mean, I taught Catholic, right? I mean, ever virgin, right? Ever virgin, not just virgin birth, ever virgin, you know? So he's like, well, that's not what the Bible says. So it was like Jesus smacked me in the face, you know, with that. And that started my journey of getting into the Word, understanding, you know, that there's more to this than, you know, standing up and saying the Apostles' Creed and the Our Father and, you know, 10 Hail Marys, you know, and things like that. I was just blown away. Life changing.
Most people that I talk to, you know, you were introduced to church, if you will, or even the word Jesus, right, as a kid. And the same with me, you know, I went through and did the whole Catholic thing as a young man too, but I had never heard of the idea of having a relationship with Jesus. That was so foreign, or a relationship with God. I mean, relationships with Coach Belichick, right? Like you mentioned, relationship with your wife. Sure, those make sense to me, but it was very foreign to think about a relationship with God. Was that where you were at when you hear the idea of that word and being associated with faith?
Absolutely. I mean, now there's certain things that I still miss, probably. Some of the Catholic churches are just incredibly beautiful, right? And you walk in and it's just, and some of that is, and the reverence that they show, and it's amazing. But there, you're right, it's like there's not that relationship there. There's not that, you know, you feel like Jesus is not your friend. Jesus is not, you know, somebody that you can really be open with. And just learning how to know that God, the structure of the Bible, you know, really, it's really just an open love story from a father to a son, right? So it's like, when you see how that, and you read the parables of Jesus and how Jesus interacted with people, you know, and the sinners, you just get blown away when you sit back and think about it. And I just love to study it every day. And when you come to God, everybody's got a testimony. And I think the testimony is the way that we connect people to Jesus, you know. And I have a daughter, Katie, she, you know, Lord willing, she'll be 29 here next month, but diabetic, diabetes when she got 7 years old, and, you know, terrible diabetic. I'm not sure there's a good one at that age, right? And me and Gina don't know anything about that world, and, you know, figuring out her counts and her insulin and her shots and when she's dropping and how many nighttime hospital visits do we have. And Gina would call me wherever I was coaching, and, you know, it was just a challenge, right? So that type of thing. And when we were, you know, in 2016, I was working for the Cleveland Browns, and we got fired on defense, and I got fired as well. And after the season, and at times you get disappointed, but I was still in the, hey, this is God's plan, right? This is, I'm good with this. This is God's plan. So I had a year left on a contract, so we were okay financially for that year. I tried to get seek work, and I almost went to a couple places with some relationships I had, but it just didn't feel right. So I was, you know, we saw Katie on a Sunday night, and she was over at our house in Cleveland, and she went home. And then on Monday night, I was teaching a Taekwondo class at my school because, you know, I was off that year for football. And my wife calls me, and she's like, have you heard from Katie? I said, no. So we went over, you know, I said, hey, listen, let's go check on her. And the first thing I thought, Jason, was, listen, the girl's always on Facebook. So I went and I turned on my computer. I got on Facebook, and she hasn't been on Facebook in over 30 hours. That's odd. So I call her. We're in a snowstorm. We drive over there. And I go upstairs, and we knock on her apartment door, and no answer, but I could hear a dog barking. So I literally kicked in the door, and she was passed out on her bathroom floor, unconscious. So paramedics came, you know, seeing her intubated, life-lighted. They come out and they said, you know, her counts were in the 1000s, which is high, like that's death high. And she was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and she has some problems since then, you know, drop foot, visionary problems from that high, you know, in 2017. But my testimony is this: is God talked to me then. You know, he removed that Browns job from me. He told me not to take those other jobs. I would have been gone. Okay. He put it in my head to check Facebook to get more concerned. And there was just something that he was telling me to get over there. Then the best part was, is I was off that year. So we cared for Katie at our house every day. We had to take her to rehab. You know, she couldn't see for a couple months. She couldn't walk for 6 months. You know, I was around, and that's all God. You know, that's God taking what I think I should have and putting me where he says you need to be here.
Yeah.
So that's a testimony that I share.
And that's the relationship aspect that we just, it was so foreign for both of us for so many years. What changed for you as a coach? When, because you're what, 40-ish when that happens? What year was that? 2011, 2012 when you started coming to the Lord?
With the Katie, oh, when I came to the Lord? Yes, correct. So that would have been 2010. I was at the Chiefs 2010, 11, and 12. And I was there with Coach Todd Haley was our first coach. And then Romeo Cornell became the interim and then became the head coach. And yeah, those years. So yeah, you're right. That's right. Right around that age.
So something, you know, has to change, right? That's 10 years ago. So you had a lot of previous history, and your resume is built up pretty good before that. And certainly it's been continuing since. But what changes for Joe Kim and how you go about your job, knowing that Christ now is a part of your life?
Number one was speech, you know. So, I mean, they challenged me. AP, Jack, they challenged me. They said, you know, this is not how the Lord wishes us to speak, whether in our cussing, not cussing, whether in our context of our conversations, you know. But if football is a tough world, I mean, to play football, I mean, you got to be tough. I mean, I respect each and every player that walks through that door. And I believe you coach number 53 on your roster as hard as you coach number one, because these guys are just – what they have to sacrifice physically, okay, and mentally, I respect that. And but I was in the culture of, you know, there's certain things you got to say in front of a team to get them to respond, you know, and, you know, it's a lot of cuss words, you know. So I was like, well, how am I going to do that? You know, I mean, I don't know how to do that. I mean, this is kind of like my identity. But you learn that there's two cultures, right? There's the worldly culture, right? The lens of the world, and then there's the biblical culture. the lens of God's word. And once you start to learn what God says, hey, listen, I mean, don't mistake meek for weak, right? So look at Jesus. I mean, Jesus, I mean, I'm sure, you know, some people paint him as just this, you know, gentle, peaceful man when he was here on earth, you know, as a human, you know, but I'm sure there were some other things that people would stand up straight, sir, yes, sir. Right? So it was, you know, so so I would say the number one thing that changed right away is how I was going to talk to players. Stop the F-bombs, stop the cursing, because that's not how God wants us to talk. And the only way to know that is to know what the word says. So, you know, my mentors, and there's been a lot of them in ministry now since, you know, the Chiefs, but it says it there. You know, it says it there. So we got to, when we're obedient to God's word, we're not obedient to some of God's word, right? We got to be obedient to God's word. So it does talk about speech in there a lot. So I just tried to, was cognizant of that. And conversations, you know, what are we talking about? Are we gossiping? Are we not gossiping? You know, conversations that defile women or defile whatever, you know, we got to stay away from those. Or like I say, we got to what? Steer the conversation. Let's steer it a different way. Let's steer it to a biblical lens, you know?
Yeah, because speech is an interesting, I'm so glad you said that, because I think that's a struggle. First of all, it's a struggle for a lot of people, especially people who come in with baggage or a background of being around or even talking that way. You know, I'm raising my hand as we record this because I am guilty of that. That was the number one thing for me that I needed to work on after coming to Christ. I was 27, was I need to stop cursing like a sailor here. What's wrong with me? And that was convicting to me. It took me a couple years. But then I also got into judgmental mode, which was not a good thing, because I used to think there is no way you can be a Christian and ever curse at all. And I was clearly wrong on that, because we're all flawed human people who make mistakes, if you even want to call that a mistake. And I heard some people that I knew who loved Jesus drop a word or two here every so often, once in a while. And I thought, my gosh, let me judge them right away. And then I realized, wait a minute, look where they are. Like, they love the Lord. Probably I would like to be at the stage of the relationship with God that they have. And so can you walk me through that? Because I know football and the sports world even is a place where, I don't know, if from a world perspective, the language is acceptable. It just is. And I cringe still when I hear someone, Christian or not, drop an F-bomb, and I know a little kid's watching it. That's just me personally. But that's such a hard place. And it's almost like you say an acceptable place. And yet you're saying, wait a minute, because I have to imagine when you're changing your language and you start to talk differently, if you will, people start to notice that. What's that been like for you in such a tough, like you say, tough environment?
The first thing that I do, Jason, is we got to understand that we are ambassadors, right? The word tells us that we are ambassadors. And what is an ambassador? You know, an ambassador is somebody that represents, right? So if we follow God and we're baptized in the faith, and we express with our mouth and believe in our heart, right? So if we do all those things, we become an ambassador. So I want to, and I'll speak for myself on this, I want to represent Christ, you know, as an ambassador of what he wants me to do on earth. And remember, all of our jobs are a camouflage for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever job we're in, your job at Sports Spectrum, you know, my job coaching the National Football League, whatever it is, it's a camouflage for doing his will. And once we accept that, that's got to be our, you know, he's our North Star, but that's got to be our bedrock, right? Build your foundation on rock. And when we do things like, you know, let's control our tongue, let's tame our tongue, and we read what James writes in the third chapter of James, you know, and we do that, and then we go through the Colossians verses, and we go through the Ephesian verses, and we go through different that Paul talks about it, you know, and first of all, that I got to know my why is what I'm saying. Why do I want to change my speech in a culture that demands and actually, you know, embraces the other way? But when we're in we got to live in the world, right? So I don't cringe because I'm around it all the time. I mean, music, right? I'm around the talk in a football building, in a football environment, really in a worldly environment. I mean, I was at a party last night here in Cleveland. You know, sometimes me and Gina stick out like sore thumbs because, you know, we choose not to drink alcohol. You know, we choose not to cuss, and we choose to walk away from some conversations in a loving way. You know, we just kind of remove ourselves, you know, oh, let's just, you know, but we choose that, but it's difficult. It's a challenge, right? It's a challenge. But as you move forward, the best compliment I get sometimes is when people are cussing around me and they stop and they say, oh, coach, sorry. Don't apologize to me. I mean, you don't have to answer to me. But I look at that, Jason, as an opportunity, if they want to talk about it, of why I choose not to use those words and why I choose not to talk about women, you know, in that way. Like, for an example, you know, some of my friends, oh, I got to go home to the old lady. Wait, what? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. You know, so it's a good opportunity because they don't know, right? I mean, Dr. Tony Evans, in his, you know, he's an incredible, incredible preacher, and I listen to him every day, just about on his app. But he relates things to football, right? Because, you know, he's involved. He was involved in football. His son was involved in football, and I listened to your podcast with Jonathan, and incredible. But if you don't know the rule book, then it's hard for us to judge. You know, we can't judge them, right? Because we can't judge because they don't know the rules, but it gives us an opportunity to explain our rules, explain the rules that we have in the truth, you know, and it gives us an opportunity. So this is why we don't cuss. Let me explain why. Let me direct you here. Let me explain that. So this is why we don't talk or gossip or talk illy, because it's just, you know, and sometimes it might work and sometimes it might not, but at least you're given an understanding of what rule book we follow. This is because, like Dr. Evans said, we cannot make a playbook without knowing the rule book. And what happens is the world makes the playbook based on the world. And as we know, the world changes on a daily basis, right? I mean, politics, beliefs, culture, those are constantly changing with the times, but there's one thing that doesn't change with the times, and that's the word of God.
That's it, Joe Kim. This has been a fantastic conversation. A couple more questions before we say goodbye. I did want to ask you to just share with us, if you could, a little bit of discipleship. And I know you shared when we had met in person at this gathering a while ago, you shared a picture of a whiteboard that I took a picture of. I don't think you even know that. I just took a picture of it because I said, that's fascinating to me. You have this big whiteboard with a bunch of words, a bunch of different scriptures and phrases on it. Tell us about the whiteboard, because I think there's some people in here who wonder, how can a football guy, you know, kind of stay discipled in the faith in his own way, not just being discipled and encouraged by a guy like Jack or somebody else, a team chaplain, but you have this big whiteboard, and I thought it was fascinating. Our audience would be really intrigued by it.
Well, first of all, I'm grateful that I have a nice office here at the Patriots. And in this office, I have a whiteboard, a huge one. It's the 3-1. So you got the whiteboard, and you can slide one. So it's pretty big. And I started this back in 2018 or 2019 when I got there. I think I got there in 2018 with Coach. So this would have been 2019. And I just started listening, you know, as I'm listening to sermons, as I'm reading some books, as I'm talking to people, I've always been one of those guys that like writes things down. You know, I just got to write it down, because if that's a great quote, if that's a great saying, if that's this. So I started this whiteboard, and one of our coaches, Brett Bielema, was with us. And, you know, he's getting into the word. Jack's another one that directed him towards the word. And we just started this, and he's like, I would write it down, and he'd come in my office and would talk about the game plan for coaching the players that day. And I would say, hey, Brett, look at this. This is what I read. This is what I saw. And now they're not Bible verses that I put on this whiteboard. They're more quotes, you know. So they're quotes that I've read in a motivational book, that I've listened to podcasts like yourself. I got some already that I've listened to your podcast, you know, and it's just amazing. And it all stems from this, Jason. I mean, Jesus told us what to do, right? I'm a soldier. I'm a directive. I love structure. I love somebody saying, Joe, do this. Okay. I'm a yes, sir, no, sir guy because of my martial arts upbringing. You know, I've been in martial arts since I was 5. And I'm a respectful loyalty. You know, I mean, you know, I've always been loyal to Coach Belichick. He's my football father. you know, and, you know, my biggest fear would be disappointing him in my job, you know, because so little things like that. So I'm very loyal. So Jesus told us, he gave us what to do, right? He in the Great Commission, you know, the first thing he tells us to do is what? Go. So he tells us, he's like, he said, you know, go, Joe, go. Okay. So that doesn't mean sit still. That means I gotta be proactive, right? I gotta attack. Okay. But I gotta attack with knowledge. And then he says what? You know, baptize, right? How do you baptize? You bring people to Christ. You know, I mean, obviously I'm not a pastor, even though I believe every form of our life is a ministry, but let's baptize them. But then what's the third thing he says? Teach, right? Teach. So how are we going to teach? Okay. Again, I'm not a pastor. I didn't go to pastoral school. I didn't go to seminary. You know, I don't have a church. For me to quote scripture and verse, no, that's not me, but I know what the word says. So I'm going to teach them. So I use that board. I use that board as my go, baptize, teach. And the last thing he says is what? Obey, right? So he gives you the directive. We just got to do it. You know, we got to use our platform. So I love talking to men's ministries. I mean, God has put this new world in front of me where I use the platform of being in the National Football League for as long as I've been, praise God, and having a Super Bowl ring that I could share and show because people love that stuff. And, you know, when they come, we kind of trick them a little bit, right? I went to a concert at TD Garden, Elevation Music, right? Fantastic, you know. And Jen and I are in there. My wife and I are in there. And there's 18,000 people in there, which is blowing me away. So the music is incredible. I mean, if you're into some Jesus, everybody knows about Maverick City and Elevation Music right now. So this Elevation Music was packed. Well, Pastor Stephen Furtick, you know, who I would love to meet someday, but this guy comes out and he tricked all of us. And what do I mean by that? He brought us there for the Elevation Music, but that man preached to us for 50 minutes, 5-0. He tricked us, but his word was incredible, right? So he brought us there because of the music of Elevation. But what did he do? He got us there and he preached the gospel. So I believe that's what we got to do. We got to use our platform like you're doing with Sports Spectrum. You know, I mean, your devotionals, I mean, every day, I mean, it makes it easier to study the Bible, right? Especially in our world when we have limited time. So it's like, that's bringing people, that's teaching people. There's your Great Commission, you know, and we're listening to that.
Yeah, that's really good. My last question for you, I'd be curious to know your answer on this. What are you most thankful for when you think about where God has taken you, where you are today? What are you most thankful for?
Thankful for that, my understanding, you know, my understanding is his understanding. Proverbs 3, right? 3, 5, and 6. You know, it's weird I remember that because I'm not a great Bible verse memory, but lean not on my own understanding. So I'm thankful that my plan is God's plan. I'm thankful. That's what I'm most for. I get it. You know, so it's like things that happen. I say this, there's two things, Jason. There's, you could either be victory minded. Okay. That's the get to, not got to attitude. That's the change your attitude, change your narrative. That's the, you know, no matter what situation, it's for him. Or there's the victim minded, which things happen to me. So I say things either happen for me or things happen to me. So victory minded means things are happening for me. God has given me this challenge because he wants it. Okay. Or I could be the other way and say, I can't believe you did that to me. I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I have to do this. You get in that blame and complain becomes a disease. And it's like, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how that could bring you down, could bring the people around you down. And before you know it, you start to have division, right? You start to have, you build some anger and some hate. And it's just, it's like the yeast, you know? So it's, I'm a victory minded and I'm thankful and grateful for that, you know, so, and that's not Joe. That's God. That's the people that God put in my life to mentor me. The pastors I've had along the way at different teams, the friends, Gina and I are going to dinner with a pastor and his wife tonight here in Cleveland. I just look forward to fellowship is what I do. I look forward to that. Talking with you, being in that gathering. How many great Christian people.
Yeah. And there was 15. It wasn't 200. And it allowed for us to meet, for us to talk, for us to build a relationship. And that's what I'm most thankful for right now, is that we got to have this conversation and hopefully keep the relationship going, my friend. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for being on. All the best this season. It'll be fun to watch the Patriots. There's a lot of excitement, certainly where I live here in Connecticut, for this year's version of New England and that AFC East battle, which probably will be down between New England, Buffalo, and, can't count those other teams out either. It's going to be a fun year to watch. All the best to you, and thanks for being here, my friend.
We're just looking forward to it, Jason. Thank you. And one thing I know, that being with the Patriots and being with other teams is, Coach has us ready to compete every Sunday. So when we walk on that football field on Sunday, not only do we think we can win, but we believe we're prepared to win. Now, we might not win that game. You never know. That's how the cards fall. But just like with the Word, if you study the Word and you know the Word, might not always go your way, but you're prepared to battle and you're prepared for anything. But just want to say thank you. It was great being on this podcast. I love listening to all your, Gina's like, we get in the Jeep and Gina's like, she rolls her eyes because what comes on? Sports Spectrum. Who are we listening to now? Something like, you can't get enough.
I love it, my friend. Well, I appreciate you and your support, and let's talk again very soon. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Great stuff there from Joe Kim. He is the director of skill development with the New England Patriots. And isn't he just such a great guy? Like, wouldn't you want your kid to play for a coach like that? Wouldn't you want to be friends with a guy like that? I'm grateful that I got to spend some time with Joe Kim in person, and also grateful that we had to have an extended conversation to hear his story right now on Sports Spectrum. I just loved knowing that there's a guy like Joe Kim in the NFL making a difference. And also, he's a pretty darn good coach too. When you've been there 30 years, that's a sign of someone who knows what they're doing. And I can't imagine all the relationships that he's built, the people that he's been around, starting with Coach Bill Belichick. And just talking to him gets me excited as well, because the NFL season it's here. Football's here, college football, the NFL in just a few days. This is my favorite time of year. September is my favorite month of the year. There's no doubt about that. It's the best weather we get up here in Connecticut, but it also means college football, the NFL, and throw in, the pennant races in Major League Baseball, throw in NBA training camps beginning, throw in the NHL and training camps beginning there. This is such a great time of year for sports. And Joe Kim has me fired up, ready for the NFL, but really ready to be an ambassador for Christ, be a better follower of Jesus in my life and make a difference and be an ambassador. So thanks to Joe Kim for being here today on Sports Spectrum. We also thank you as well for tuning in. Make sure you do definitely go check our website, sportspectrum.com, each and every day. Best place to go for all of our content. And then whatever app you listen to podcasts on, make sure you click that subscribe or that follow button on whatever app. Maybe it's Spotify or Apple or, even Amazon Podcasts. We are available on every podcast network and every podcast platform. So please do click that subscribe or follow button. That way you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. It's an exciting time of year with football. Football is back, and can't wait to see what happens this year. We will see you next time for another episode on Sports Spectrum.